This is a 720 to go podcast from Chicago's WGN Radio 720.
This podcast is sponsored by ADM.
As one of the world's largest agricultural processors, ADM is uniquely positioned to serve the world's growing needs for abundant food and renewable energy. ADM.
When it comes to the business of America's farmland, you need the information from the people who know it best. That's why we bring you AgriCast with Orion Samuelson and Max Armstrong.
Good morning, Roger. 21 degrees on my thermometer at our Huntley studio in Huntley, Illinois. And indeed, we're into winter. And I don't think we're into it officially yet, are we, Roger? I think
no, 21st.
21st.
Yeah.
But meteorologically, it started on December 1st, and it started with a bang. As a matter of fact, I said to our TV weatherman, Greg Solier, I said, I don't remember an Indian summer. Did I miss Indian summer this year? And he said, you and a lot of other people, because we didn't get a freeze to kill the vegetation, and that's normally what it takes. And then after the freeze, it warms up again for a few days. Didn't happen. We sort of went right from summer to winter in some of the areas across the country. But in California, that's not all that bad. I'm going to talk a little bit about the fact California drought has not yet been broken, but boy, it's been dented. And some record-setting rains in the Sacramento area. We have a farmer out in Sacramento, California, who listens to us regularly and keeps us posted on the moisture that they're getting from out in that part of the country to build the snowpack. And the snowpack is what ultimately moisturizes the fields of the far west and the southwest in that area. So we'll talk about that a little bit later. It's been an interesting week with the weather because I was booked on four flights. Two of them were canceled. Another one was perfect, on time, and just great. And then the fourth one, 2.5-hour delay because of mechanical. So it was an interesting traveling week. But on Sunday, last Sunday, I was due to fly out to Phoenix, Arizona to speak to the Arizona Agricultural Roundtable Monday and then fly back to Chicago. And, of course, that flight was canceled because of all of the cancellations they had on Sunday at O'Hare and also at Midway. And then on Tuesday afternoon, flew to Washington, D.C. That flight was perfect. It was on time and a great flight. And then after the interview with the Secretary of Agriculture, Tom Vilsack, on Wednesday, scheduled to fly out of Washington Wednesday afternoon about 4:45 and got out of Washington, D.C. at about 2.5 hours later. So that day was a little longer. And landing at O'Hare and sitting on the tarmac at night for about 40 minutes, it really, again, made me appreciate the hard work that the people on the ramp at airports have to go through if the airport's in a winter area. Because cold as it was, blowing and all that, you have those ramp workers who are unloading luggage and refueling and doing all of the other things. So tip of the hat to all of you guys who work on the ramps at O'Hare and Midway and all of the other airports across the country, because it cannot be easy when you're encountering that. So anyway, coming up, I'm looking forward to being back in Pasadena, California on the 1st of January, because last year I had to skip that one because of the heart surgery, and so I wasn't able to do the RFD TV co-hosting of the Tournament of Roses Parade in Pasadena, California. But this year I will be back, and on RFD TV we do the Rose Parade with much fewer commercials, a lot less than you'll find on the other networks. And the one thing that I insisted on when I was asked to co-host the Tournament of Roses Parade, I insisted that when the bands come by, we don't break for commercials, because a lot of those high school bands have moms and dads all over the country watching for their son or their daughter or grandson or granddaughter. So When the bands come by and the networks generally go to commercial, we stay with the band. So hope you'll find us on RFD TV. Oh, and the other question that has come up, this year, the Tournament of Roses Parade, the Rose Bowl game, will be held on Monday, January 2nd. And here's the reason why. Tournament of Roses Parade started in the 1880s, and it was a horse parade. All of the floats were pulled by horses. And the officials made the decision they would not do the Tournament of Roses Parade on Sunday because of church services and ringing church bells. And they were concerned about those ringing church bells spooking the horses and causing problems on the parade route. And so as a result, when January 1st is on a Sunday, they do the parade and the Rose Bowl on the Monday, January 2nd. And that's the case this year. And a little bit of history on the Tournament of Roses Parade. But looking forward to being out there because, well, it's agriculture. They spend acres and hours producing all of the flowers that go into the floats at the Rose Parade because they do nothing artificial. It's got to be something from a live plant, whether it be seeds or flowers or whatever. But that alone is quite an industry agriculturally in Southern California. So just a little bit of history on that. Now, the interview with the Secretary of Agriculture, Tom Vilsack, will be aired on the Saturday morning show in its entirety the last day of the year, December 31st. But I'm going to share just one segment of it with you because this is the last time that I will interview Tom Vilsack, a Secretary of Agriculture. So anyway, I'll share a portion of the interview with the Secretary of Agriculture when we continue here on the Saturday Morning Show. It's the final time that we visit with Tom Vilsack as Secretary of Agriculture. We'll keep talking to you after you leave the office, and I guess that's one of the things I'll talk about here in a moment, but let's talk about the biggest agency in the Department of Agriculture, which is?
Forest Service.
And the firefighting that they've had to do during the time you've been Secretary.
Well, we've seen historic fires, and we're going to continue to see more of them until Congress gets serious about how to budget the monies within the Forest Service. In 1996, 16% of the Forest Service budget was allocated to fire suppression. Today, this year, we'll see more than 60%.
60?
60. And that means that we are spending less money on maintenance, resiliency, and restoration efforts, less maintenance on trails, less maintenance on the facilities that people enjoy, so that our Forest Service is suffering because Congress refuses to acknowledge that the major forest fires that we fight are natural disasters and should be funded just in the same way we fund floods and hurricanes and tornadoes. Until that happens, we're going to continue to see that number rise, and we're going to continue to see, over time, horrific fires. There are 70,000 communities in this country that are located in or near a forest preserve or U.S. Forest Service National Forest. And that's 45 million homes that are at risk, and it's a serious issue that Congress needs to address. We've been saying this for a couple of years. They've come close, but they need to get that done next year.
Now let's talk about being Secretary of Agriculture. Were you surprised when the invitation came 8 years ago?
Extremely surprised, because I had been told that it was probably not going to happen. I tell some of the folks who are currently vying for various positions in a new administration, it doesn't matter if you're the first person to be discussed. What matters is you need to be the last person that's discussed. And I will be forever grateful to President Obama for giving me this incredible opportunity, an opportunity of a lifetime, a job of a lifetime.
As Secretary, do you have a social life?
You do.
Do you?
In the last month, we've had a chance to go and watch Smokey Robinson be feted by the Library of Congress.
Right.
Bill Murray, who received the Mark Twain Humor Award. Recently, I was at the White House with a party that the President and Mrs. Obama put on for the cabinet every year. And the special guest was Diana Ross. So yeah, you've got a social life, and it's rarefied air. You have to understand that it's temporary. It's special, and you have to appreciate every moment of it. Because eventually it ends, and someone else is going to have this great opportunity, and I wish them nothing but the best.
Yeah, for a boy who started out in an orphanage in Iowa, you are the epitome of the title of my book, You Can't Dream Big Enough.
Oh, no, this is a great country. You start out in an orphanage. I mean, I was standing in line last year waiting to shake the hand of the President of the United States, who was standing next to the Pope. And I thought to myself, a kid who starts out in a Catholic orphanage, and here I am about ready to shake the hand of the President and the Pope at the same time, what could be better? What could be better? And what a great country that allows someone like myself that type of opportunity. And there are stories throughout this administration, throughout this country, that are incredibly inspiring.
When the phone rings and you pick it up and says, "This is the President," what's that like?
What do you need, sir?
Yeah, okay.
What do you need, sir? Look, he has been a very strong supporter of this agency. He recognizes the important work that we do, and he has been very appreciative of the work, the hard, record-breaking work that we've done here. We've spent the last year on our website highlighting the progress that's been made in the last 8 years in rural America, in food safety, in natural resource conservation, in trade, in farm income, in rural development, in research. And we've really been proud of that work. But it's taken an entire year, basically, to tell the story. And we've also modernized the workplace and the workforce here. We have a new reputation relative to civil rights. And just this year, we got in the top 10 of best places to work in the federal government. We were in the bottom third when I started. So we've seen increased morale and improved morale. All of this at a time when our budget wasn't being increased. So these were not easy times for those who worked here, but they've just done an incredible job.
Foreign travel. Can you pick one trip that impressed you more than any other?
Well, I think the Cuba trip with the President was obviously pretty historic. So you'll always remember that trip. The opportunity for me to go to Kenya to visit an orphanage and to see our food programs working and the food assistance programs working was also a highlight. That was early in the administration. You know, I've been to, I think, over 20, somewhere between 20 and 30 countries, going to Afghanistan to visit with troops and also to visit with farmers. I found out something interesting about my visit in Afghanistan. Afghan farmers are no different than American farmers. They always want just a little more.
A little more.
Just a little more. Never quite satisfied. I got a kick out of talking to those Afghan farmers because it did remind me of being home.
Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack sharing some of the memories of the past 8 years. As I've said before, you have to go back to the 1960s to find a Secretary of Agriculture who served in that cabinet position for 8 full years, 2 full presidential terms. And Tom Vilsack, of course, is an Iowa governor, but the last secretary to do that was a Minnesota governor, Orville Freeman, who was appointed by then-President John Kennedy and retained in the position by President Lyndon Johnson, and he served the full 8 years, 2 terms, but that hasn't happened since the 1960s until now when Tom Vilsack did it. And he's very much aware of what he's been able to do from the standpoint of an individual, but also from the standpoint of a government agency. The interview in full will be heard on the last Saturday morning show of the year on December 31st, because there's a lot more that he talks about in our sit-down visit in the U.S. Department of Agriculture headquarters building in Washington, D.C. 25 minutes after 5 o'clock, and we're in the low 20s, and it's winter time. But we'll talk about weather in other parts of the country when we continue here on the Saturday Morning Show. We're at 28 minutes after 5 o'clock on a chilly winter morning, 21 degrees on my home thermometer in Huntley, Illinois, and that temperature pretty much the same across at least this part of the Chicagoland area. Looking west, we hear from Russ Andrus, who is involved in agriculture near Sacramento, California. We hear from him regularly. And this week, on the 16th of December, I got this memo from Russ. He said, "We got 1.84 inches of rain yesterday. That's a record for December 15th. The old record was 1.18. So for the month, we have received 3.09, a little over 3 inches of rain. And for the season, we're at 8.83, with normal rainfall in the Sacramento area at a little over 5 inches at this point, saying then we are at 175% of normal moisture for this time of the year." And he concludes by saying, "I got over 2.15 inches yesterday. My season total here in Sacramento at 11 2/3 inches of rain." So he said, "In less than 3 months, I've gotten 50% of the normal rainfall for the year." And so they're getting rain, not breaking the drought completely in California, but as you know, California is our far and away our number one agricultural state in the nation, providing and producing over 200 varieties of crops and nuts and citrus and all that. So getting that kind of rain and getting a snowpack up in the mountains that will help fill the Colorado River, which provides water for Los Angeles and Phoenix and Tucson and Las Vegas and all those cities. That's a truckload of weather, and it sounds like it's going to impact a good part of our WGN listening area.
Yeah, very much so, especially after it starts picking up a little later on this afternoon. So right now, whatever chores you got to get done, get them done, get back home.
Absolutely. Good advice from Mr. Roger Badish. Well, I hope you were listening yesterday when the WGN family presented the Christmas play, the Christmas Carol. I wasn't able to participate this year because with my travel schedule, I couldn't be there for auditions and I couldn't be there for rehearsals. But I did hear a good part of it, and congratulations to all of my family members at WGN Radio for doing an outstanding job with A Christmas Carol here on WGN. We're back 23 minutes before 6 o'clock here on WGN Radio Chicago, and we begin this segment every week with Samuelson Says, brought to you by Wink Products Company, makers of quality specialty cleaning products since 1947. I'm Orion Samuelson, today talking about what farmers would like to see under the Christmas tree this year. We'll do that in a moment. But you know, the folks at Wink Products Company really want to help make your life easier with a family of professional strength cleaning products. That means products that really work. Wink Rust Stain Remover is the number one liquid rust stain remover in the country. This professional strength formula dissolves the ugly rust stains on white sinks and toilet bowls, and also on color-fast fabrics and carpets. This little brown bottle has been around since 1947, and it is still number one. To learn where to find quality Wink products, check them out at wink.com. That's WHINK.com. At the outset, let me give full credit to my colleague Max Armstrong, who suggested this as a topic for Samuelson Says. What do farmers want for Christmas? Well, I'm giving it thought, but of course I'm no longer an active farmer, but I think visiting with as many farmers and ranchers every year across the country, I can share some of what they would like to see in their Christmas stocking. And of course, much of it is what every one of us wants. Peace in the world, joy and happiness for people, good health, and a good life producing food for the world. But then there are some other things, too, that I think we'd like to see in a farmer rancher stocking on Christmas morning. We would like to see better understanding of farmers and ranchers by the general public and by what it takes to put food on the table. Farmers still feel very misunderstood, and they work hard every day to do what they do, but to help people understand why they do it. And of course, I'm sure we would put in that Christmas gift list better prices. Better prices that would do better than break even or lose, and give them the opportunity to add to the economy by spending the dollars they receive. Other things on the farmer list? Well, probably a government that understands agriculture a little bit better as well, particularly members of Congress that are so far removed from the farm they really can't do much in the way of understanding what it's all about because they and a lot of the rest of us take it for granted. Then I think farmers would like good weather. Rain in the right amount at the right time. Dry weather and sunshine in the right amount at the right time. And they would like understanding on the part of active environmentalists who question if farmers really are good stewards. Well, indeed, they are. So those are some of the items I think I'd find on a farmer's wish list for Christmas. Oh, maybe a new tractor or a new combine or a new pickup truck or maybe a new refrigerator for Mom. Well, anyway, whatever's on your list, I hope you get the gift you want and especially that you have a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. My thoughts on Samuelson Says.
A presentation of Tribune Radio Networks at 19 minutes before 6 o'clock. And, of course, markets will slow down during the holiday season. Yesterday was the end of the last full trading week that we'll have for a couple of weeks. Next week before Christmas, well, actually this week before Christmas, we'll be closing early on Friday. Markets will shut down at noon. And the holiday market closings will be the Monday after Christmas and the Monday after New Year's Day. So we are moving into that time of the year when the markets will be slowing down because really the trading population also goes down. A lot of people take the 2 weeks as vacation time from the trading floors at the Board of Trade, the Mercantile Exchange, and Wall Street. So we'll talk markets when we continue here on the Saturday Morning Show. We welcome back Naomi Bloom of Stewart Peterson, based in Wisconsin, but covering the nation as far as commodity trade is concerned. Coming to the end of the year, is there going to be much evening up, you think, in the marketplace from the standpoint of commodities?
I think it's very possible in regards to the funds and the positions that they have, including the stock market into that. Specifically, though, for the agricultural markets, right now the biggest thing that we're watching is soybeans because the funds are long over 100,000 contracts of soybeans. And if we don't have any continued weather concerns out of South America, well, there's a perfect reason to take a profit on a long position and just call it a good, nice holiday break. So that's something to be mindful of. And then, of course, there's always hope that maybe in the wheat market they start to buy back that massive short position. And they're about 70,000 contracts short right now in corn. So very much it would be a market mover if they do anything ahead of the holiday break.
Well, after stock traders have gone through months of angst over will the Fed do it and when will they do it and how much will it be, they have done it. Any impact on ag commodities?
Well, the Feds did raise the interest rate a quarter point, and now the trade is mostly concerned about 2017. The impact for commodities stems from how the dollar reacts to all of that Fed reaction. So with the dollar moving higher, of course, that's not as great for our export market. So it's something to be mindful of. But again, with the holiday trade that's coming up, anything can happen. So just be on your toes.
As this opportunity of this late fall rally in soybeans started to fade now, are we losing steam here?
Very much so. The market head up to some resistance levels on daily charts, weekly charts, and it just didn't have that extra fundamental push to go higher, which would have had to come from more exports and even drier weather concerns in South America. So because we're not seeing that, this has been a great opportunity for the producer to get more current with old crop bean sales and even to get going on those new crop soybean sales as well.
To what degree have the producers you work with indeed done that?
Well, the ones that have been saying that they're going to be planting more soybeans next year, they are definitely more aggressive about getting sold. So at the minimum, a 10% to a 20% forward contract is in place because a lot of people are able to get closer to that $10 price point for next fall delivery. So that's a great place to get started. And there's always ways that we can re-own the market should the fundamentals dictate that the market price needs to go higher. But for right now, when you compare how we're long over 100,000 contracts of soybeans by the funds, and last year we were short about 10,000 contracts, this is a Christmas gift.
A Christmas gift. If there's any lesson learned from 2016 in marketing, it would seem to be you have to really stay on your toes. We've had some great surprises.
Yeah, 2016 was full of twists and turns. You have the most bearish outlook to start the year, and then out of nowhere, it seemed like, came that rally for the soybeans. And of course, in hindsight, you know the reasons why. But 2017 is really expected to be full of those same types of twists and turns. And so there's a lot of different market fundamentals that need to be monitored every day. It's not just the supply and demand and the weather. It's watching outside market movements, seeing what crude oil is doing, being aware of all of the currencies around the world and how that affects the dollar. The new administration might throw us some excitement along the way, too. And, of course, keeping an eye on the fund position in the marketplace. And so at any one day when you wake up in the morning, you could say, wow, this outside market factor that really has nothing to do with anything is actually the reason why the market's trading so much higher today. So be aware of all of it and always be ready for any scenario that comes unfolding.
Out there on that lake, what's that Naomi Bloom black swan that's out there? What's the most likely one that could pop up?
I'm actually leaning towards something with Russia-Ukraine with a little bit of a snafu with either crude oil or the wheat market and exports. That's the one I'm watching, along with anything China. So those are the two countries I'm really watching closely.
Why do you watch crude oil and corn as closely as you do?
Yeah, well, crude oil, of course, is a big fundamental factor for corn because of the ethanol and the energy component. You know, a third of our corn goes towards ethanol. So, of course, that's tied right in with the energy market. So between crude oil rallying from outside market news as far as people around the world to new people in the EPA, there's a lot of reasons why crude oil and corn are tied together. I'm leaning towards crude oil prices actually pushing a little bit higher. And as long as everything goes well with ethanol and EPA and everybody's cooperating, corn should be able to follow along higher with it as well. So just really be mindful of all of those things.
Back to the holiday season. Population tends to get very light in the trading community as they take vacations. Does that sometime lead to sharp moves up or down?
Yeah, that's one of those opportunities that can create a wealth of opportunity, or it could be a disadvantage. It just depends on what the light volume. If in the futures market, if traders hit buy stops and the market starts accelerating higher, or if all of a sudden the light volume triggers the market sell off lower. But in the cash market, with the holiday trade, a lot of producers may be content to just leave things in the bin and not really get out and sell things to the end user. And so sometimes that's when the basis all of a sudden will improve. And so when everyone else is nestled in for Christmas, there's oftentimes some opportunities there. So be watching your local cash markets as well.
Be watchful during the holidays. And I hope you and your family have a great Christmas season. And
thank
we'll
you.
Talk to you next year.
Yes.
The new year, Naomi Bloom with Stuart Peterson. You know, it has been fun over the years because I've covered the Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange since 1960, and it's delightful to see the young people like Naomi with tremendous knowledge and the ability to talk about what's happening in the market, and we're seeing these younger, knowledgeable people come into the marketplace, and they are a welcome addition, so thank you for joining us here on the Saturday Morning Show, and we do really appreciate your company. 10 minutes before 6 o'clock, and again, coming up during the next week, we will be covering markets throughout the week here on WGN Radio. And speaking of WGN, and earlier I talked about the WGN family doing an excellent job, on the production of A Christmas Carol. I hope you caught that yesterday. But I'd also like to say thank you to the WGN family, particularly the engineering family, like the guy who is handling the controls for us right now, Bob Ferguson, every Saturday morning here on the Saturday Morning Show, making me sound a lot better than I really am. So thanks to all of the technical crew and all of the great people that I've had the pleasure of working with for 56 years now at WGN Radio. We're at 8.5 minutes before 6 o'clock news time. We're going back to visit with Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack just briefly when we continue here on the Saturday Morning Show. Going to be a chilly day for the Bear-Packer game tomorrow, so dress warmly for that. When I sat down with the Secretary of Agriculture this week, we didn't spend much time on who might be moving into the office that he'll be vacating. At least that's the word on January 20th. And frankly, I'm not at all surprised that the Trump transition team is going to probably make the last cabinet appointment the Secretary of Agriculture. And still a question mark, who will be the new Secretary of Agriculture? And there are still quite a few names on the list, but a couple of them that were on my list are gone because they've received other appointments. Rick Perry, the governor of Texas. And I thought there was a chance that we would have two Iowa governors in a row as Secretary of Agriculture, because Tom Vilsack served as governor, and I had on my secretary list Terry Branstad, the current governor of Iowa, but he then was appointed to be the U.S. ambassador to China. And so I asked Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack for his reaction to that appointment of a fellow governor. This was his answer.
Well, I sincerely hope that the Senate confirms Governor Branstad as quickly as possible, because I think he's a good choice. He has a deep and abiding love of America and of the products that are grown, raised, and produced in this country. He is a tremendous promoter, a tireless promoter of our products. He certainly has been as governor. He understands the important role that an ambassador plays in basically marketing American goods, and I think he has a special place in his heart for American agriculture. He also has a special relationship with President Xi of China that goes back over 30 years, and I think that relationship may make a big difference as we deal with complex issues relative to our relationships with China. They are certainly our number one trading partner in agriculture, but they are also a country that provides some difficulties and some challenges as well. So hopefully that relationship, that personal relationship, will smooth over some of those differences and we can see a reopening of our beef trade. We can see expanded opportunities for agriculture.
Personal relationships indeed can play a role in those negotiations on the sticky trade issues that we have with China. But American agriculture depends a great deal on Chinese purchases to provide a better income for agriculture in this country. I know that the president of China has visited Iowa twice, and Governor Branstad has visited China at least 6 times on trade missions, so I share the enthusiasm for his role as U.S. ambassador to China. I think a good choice. Now, we continue to wait to find out who will be the Secretary of Agriculture. Well, as we wrap up the week, let's wrap up some market activity, because at the Mercantile Exchange yesterday, live cattle futures, finally some good news for those cattlemen in Arizona that I'll be visiting with in a week or so, because the cattle futures market reached the highest level since late August in yesterday's trade. The short covering following the morning's strong wholesale beef prices, an important factor in the market. December live cattle futures up $1.60 after breaking through the 200-day moving average. And grocers now have stocked up on beef after some packers cut processing numbers, which grew their margins and beef cutout values, according to traders and analysts in that market. cold weather doesn't impact cattle all that much. It's the wet weather that really hurts them, according to one cattle marketer. As we take a look at what happened in the lean hog contract yesterday, spillover support from the cattle market did help to 5-month highs in some of the exchange's hog contracts. February futures led advances after investors bought that contract, simultaneously sold deferred months in a trading strategy that's known as bull spreads. February lean hogs up $1.30 a hundredweight. We'll take a look at where we ended in the grain market when we continue. Soybean futures at the Board of Trade continued to show strength yesterday thanks to more positive export news. Corn futures were slightly weaker and wheat futures were flat in yesterday's trade. But for the week, soybean futures down just 0.1%. Corn futures down 0.6%, and wheat futures down 1.3%. But again, yesterday, USDA announced another export sale of 205,000 tons of soybeans to unknown destinations, the third sale of the week. So let's hope it continues, and next week we'll wind up the trading at noon on Friday. So get your trading done early. Thank you very much for joining us here on the Saturday Morning Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN and WGNRadio.com.
Orion Samuelson keeps you connected to the world of business and agriculture on WGN. Hear his reports weekday mornings on the Steve Cochran Show and during the noon hour on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Plus, catch Orion and Max on Saturday mornings at 5 a.m. only on Chicago's WGN Radio 720.